You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company once again as we build up to a big golfing week. We've got a couple of cracking events, the Abu Dhabi Championship on the European Tour and the American Express, formerly known as the Bob Hope Classic, the Humana Challenge, the Career Builder Challenge on the PGA Tour. That's Pro-Am. And Dave Tindall joins me here in the studio. Dave, first of all, a warm welcome to you. Good morning.
Hello. And the Desert Classic, it was last year.
Yeah, the Desert Classic, wasn't it, last year, yeah.
We all remember that for 1 year.
Looking forward to this week. It feels like the European Tour, this is the start of the European Tour season for me.
Yes, I know we've had, what, five events so far, but this is kind of the, you know, big fireworks going off, and here we go. Some cracking players in the field. Nice to see a couple of big-name Americans coming over as well, just to give it that extra.
It's always good when that happens, isn't
it?
Let's start by talking about last week, first of all. Brandon Grace, his performance in the final round in South Africa in Johannesburg was just sensational. Every single shot seemed to be dispatched right at the target. Incredibly impressive performance. And we saw the cream rising to the top again in South Africa. And that final round had a little bit of everything. You had Grace shooting lights out, and you had Louis Oosthuizen making the hole in one to hit the front in that final round as well. I was watching in our studio one, as it were, here at William Hill Towers, and trying to concentrate on what was happening and broadcasting into the shops, but my eye was taken by the final round in Johannesburg.
Yeah, I mean, and for all the 240-man field, you know, it's whittled down to two of the most obvious names going. But yeah, a real ding-dong battle and a classic one. And oh, Brandon Grace likes a 62, doesn't he? He shot that, of course, in the Open Championship, the only man ever to break 63 in a major, and then wins with a 62 here. So all credit to him, because 2019 was a bit of a write-off for him, really.
Yeah.
The only thing he really did was finish third right at the end of the year in the Alfred Dunhill Championship, which shows, you know, what a powerhouse he is when he's back in South Africa. And I think those who thought, oh, that third means something. It's a funny one, because both him and Schwartzel were very similar. They'd had terrible years, Schwartzel through injury.
Yep.
Both had been third in the Alfred Dunhill, so you know you could have, which horse do you back? And then Schwartzel misses the cut, Grace wins. So pretty obvious on that one, although Schwartzel nearly made the cut, and he had a terrible first round and recovered. But it's always an interesting element, isn't it? Players who you know are really good and have gone off the boil, and you're thinking, that's surely not them done. Are they going to come again? And then if you can just time it right, you know, you can... not that he was a great prize,
he
was 14, but...
he was quite well backed, wasn't he? In the opening few, you know, when the odds were posted, basically.
But an informed, proper Brandon Grace would have been maybe single figures in that event. So, well done, have you backed him?
I know a few people backed Cameron Smith to win the Sony Open. He was popular with the betting fraternity. Ben Coley putting him up at Niall Lyons.
Yeah.
Selected him as well. So, well done to those couple of tipsters.
Excellent picks. Well done, guys.
Resilient performance as well, because he was four over through the first two holes on Thursday.
Yeah, you must have thought your money had gone there. But it kind of, looking back, it made sense, didn't it? It was a very windy week, and he's an Australian who's very used to that. And also the birdie thing he did for the bushfire disaster in Australia, donating, what was it, $500 per birdie? He actually finished tied first in birdies that week. And he actually said, you know, he felt like, rather than that, I hope I'm going to make this putt for birdie, I need to make this putt. So who knows what just little edge that could have given him, you know, all... Because, you know, it was a playoff in the end. And Brendan Steele, I don't know how Brendan Steele, how would you have picked him?
And he contrived to lose the tournament, didn't he?
Yeah, was he two clear with two to play?
Yeah.
So he would have been a bit of a skinner, because you just don't think of Brendan Steele in that event.
I think the only way you come up with Brendan Steele there is you think about, he's won in Texas, hasn't he, before? in windy conditions.
That's
the only way you come up with Brendan Steele, because from a pure form perspective, he was pretty difficult to back.
They asked him, they said, I presume you're a great wind player. And he said, well, when I won the Texas Open, that was really windy, which was 2011. But he said, I've played terrible in the wind as well. So, you know, sometimes you're sort of backfitting, aren't you, sort of the narrative.
Let's talk about this week. Big week. We'll kick things off with the Abu Dhabi Championship on the European Tour. Patrick Cantlay, Tommy Fleetwood, Brooks Koepka inseparable at the top of the betting here with William Hill, all 10-1. Louis Oosthuizen is 16-1. Shane Lowry is 18-1. Matthew Fitzpatrick is 20s, along with Bryson DeChambeau. It's 28-1, Brandon Grace and Thomas Peters, and 33-1 and bigger the rest. And it's the start of the Desert Swing, and Shane Lowry used this as a catalyst to his Open success last year. That 3-wood into the final hole was a stunning way for him to finish and seal the event. And it's about the course as much as anything. It's always immaculately prepared, and the players rave about how brilliant the course is every single year. But the weather has been abnormally poor in this part of the world, which adds a different dynamic, I suppose. It might be the bombers that have an added advantage this week. It could play a little bit softer than we expect in the desert.
Yeah, possibly. I presume all these great courses have got very good drying out facilities. And when I last looked at the forecast, it was seemed to be okay in terms of the rain for kind of the build up. So, but yeah, I don't know why, but sometimes I get sort of a little pop up news thing on my computer, and it came up with floods in Abu Dhabi. I thought, really? I must have known I was thinking about the Gulf. I don't know why it would have told me that otherwise. But yeah, a bit unusual, that for it all. But I still think, I don't think it'd be ultra soft or anything silly. It is the desert after all. And, you know, they will be able to dry it out. Looking at past winners of the event, Dave, I did notice one little thing that there's a lot of European winners, and the two American winners, a little angle here, were Ricky Fowler and Chris DeMarco. Both of those have won the Phoenix Open, which is in the desert. So I think desert form, even if you're bringing it from America, still counts for something.
Yeah, definitely.
So if you looked at the Americans here, Patrick Cantlay, one of his wins, has he won twice? Yeah, his first win was in Vegas in the desert.
His second one was the Memorial.
That's right, yeah. So Cantlay has won in the desert.
Yep, okay. And do you think that he's the man to focus on in terms of those guys at 10-1 this week? I take it you're not going with Cantlay.
No, I mean, the fact that we've got 10-1 co-favourites of three suggests it's all a bit, you don't quite know who, and Kepka's there because he's Kepka, but you don't really know what he's going to produce because he's been out for so long.
Yeah.
Fleetwood obviously won two of the last three, so he's bound to be very short, and Cantlay's just, well, world number six now, isn't he? So anywhere he starts, he's going to be short.
Yeah.
If it was one of those games, if you had a free bet, who would you back out of the front three? I'd probably still go with Fleetwood.
I'd go with Cantlay, I think.
Would you?
Out of the front three, yeah.
Even though it's his debut.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me too much. I think he tweeted earlier on in the week that he absolutely loves the golf course. And it does feel, it has a very American setup, doesn't it? Par 72, quite a long golf course.
Yeah.
Wide off the tee, water in play on a number of holes, prepared perfectly for these players. And Brooks Koepka said in a quote, I think I read it from your Roto World Golf piece, that it had a kind of major championship feel, which seemed weird. Well, and you've got to position your golf course and then you can attack.
Your golf ball, yeah.
Golf course, your golf ball.
But talking of the majors, one thing I will be certainly doing this year is jotting down on a bit of paper, or perhaps emailing myself, as I like to do, about who will be the winners of these early season desert events, because you've got Lowry going on to win the Open, and then the Dubai Desert Classic, you've got Willett and Garcia winning that and then going on to win majors. So I think it's, I don't quite know why specifically, whether that maybe Koepka's onto something, that it, you know, it's an elite field, whether it's the type of course, I don't know, but it's certainly a trend, isn't it, that if you get an early season win in the bag, that seems to sort of fling you forward into the majors and gives you an extra level of confidence.
The course is a par 72, measures 7,583 yards, Bermuda grass greens, and as mentioned, plenty of water in play on a number of holes. I've come up with two picks for this event.
I've got sort of 2.5.
I'll let you go first then if you've got 2.5.
Yeah. First one, I'm sticking with Brandon Grace.
I am as well, actually.
Yeah. I think he's got a fantastic chance.
Yeah, I think 28-1 is a nice price on Grace. I was very surprised because there's often a reluctance to row in with the player that won the previous week if you missed him the previous week, but I was looking through this event and he was just the one that stood out to me.
Mm. I mean, his course form's excellent. He's got a couple of top fives. He's just always makes the cut. And three more top 20s on top of the top fives. And the thing I always like to look at, you know, some players, you know, visibly breathe out when they've won and they just think, that's me. But he keeps going. You look through his record, he's had a couple of back-to-back wins.
Yeah, he has, yeah.
So it's something he can do, and he's just a player where when he's hot, he's hot. So the fact that he's won last week as well in the style that he won, it's not like he was hanging on for three rounds and everyone was coming at him. He just flew at the finish. So I don't think there was much stress there. He wasn't under the gun, was he? He just got hot and rode it out.
Yeah.
So I think he'll just want to get going again, and this just looks like a good course for him to do so.
Yeah, approach play was fantastic last week. Of course, he's won the Qatar Masters a couple of times in the past as well, which adds to the argument. And as you mentioned, back-to-back wins, 2012 back-to-back wins.
Plus, his only decent performance last year in a terrible year was in Phoenix when he nearly won the waste management again in the desert. So he clearly likes desert conditions. I thought you could have had him shorter in the betting than that.
Yeah, I compare him to Louis Oosthuizen here.
Got an
excellent chance, but he's 16-1 and Brandon Grace is 28-1.
Yeah.
Why is there the disparity in the prices?
Yeah, shouldn't be really, should there?
I don't think so. Not when Grace is such a prolific winner compared to Oosthuizen.
I saw some stat the other day where it's something like most European Tour wins since 2012 and or something like that. And he was top or something, Grace, or really up there. So
he had that, was it a four-win season in 2012?
But he just keep picking them off, doesn't he? And you just like him. Some players, when you get in contention, you kind of cross everything and hope for the best. When he's up there, you think, right, I'm on to something.
And you know that he, like you said, he tends to keep it rolling, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's a real purple patch kind of player.
Yeah, and it's not like, as well, we're not going from like one side of the world to the other. It's not that far away, is it? From South Africa to the United Arab Emirates.
He's one of those, obviously, with that recent run under his belt as well, whereas a lot of the leading contenders haven't played in a while, which is another must be another positive.
So, I think each way, definite for me, every chance he could win again.
28-1, Brandon Grace for both myself and Dave, headline selection. Give us your second pick then.
I'm also going for another player, 28-1.
Thomas Peters.
As there's only one other, you can guess him. Yeah, Thomas Peters.
He tempted me, to be honest. He's been quite well backed, hasn't he?
Yeah, and rightly so. Course form is sensational, really. Hasn't got the win, but he's got a second, a fourth and a fifth. That was between 2015 and 2018. And he was up there again last year, just didn't quite get it done in the last round, was 16th. So he really does like this course. And you can see why, just a big bomber as well. If the idea that softer will suit him, the bombers, then that will, you know, that could play out a little bit. Just as well in his condition. Six as well in the DP World Tour Championship at the back end of last year was another good performance. And then he just had another little outing in Mauritius just to maybe stop rust forming and was 13th. So got that win in the Czech Masters. I think that was not a big event, but certainly big for him to get another win under his belt because he's a funny one, isn't he? Because he can, obviously, top scorer in the Ryder Cup when he played it. Then he had a brilliant Masters, so he can really excel in these big, big events. And I think he'll love it, the fact that Koepka and Cantlay are there and Fleetwood, and he's just in amongst it. And you almost feel he's better backed. I know he's won some lesser grade events, but you just think he can stand up for himself in this kind of field. Mm. So I just thought 28-1. The normal mix of course form, current form, and that recent win under his belt makes him a appealing bet.
Okay, Thomas Peters 28-1, Dave's second selection. We'll get his half a selection very shortly. I'm going with Victor Perez as my second pick at 66-1. I think he's, from a price perspective, still underrated by the layers. More than reasonable to expect him to improve on his debut performance in Abu Dhabi, where he made the cuts but finished down the field. Finished last year in stunning form, winning the Dunhill Links, tied for fourth in the HSBC Champions, a big event, and then tied for second in Turkey. Finished the season with a more than respectable 20th place finish in the DP World Tour Championship in the desert. Has other form in the desert as well. Finished behind Adrianus in the Challenge Tour Grand Final in the United Arab Emirates in 2018. And he's just overpriced at 66-1. So Victor Perez, my second pick.
Yeah. Very short and succinct, and
yeah, yes, to the point.
To
yeah,
the point, yeah. I'll be less to the point with my half a pick. just because it's odd that he was what he was last week and what he is this week. Sean Norris.
Okay.
Do you remember how we laughed when he was whatever 14-1 last week?
Yeah.
And now he's 150s.
He is.
What's that about? How can you go from?
Maybe just people think that just
that's the biggest
out of South Africa,
biggest
up in
fall
class
from grace since I got A at O level maths and then failed A level. True story. I did pass the retake though.
Did you?
Yes.
Well done.
Well done me there. Yeah, I mean, how can he be that last week and this week? And it's not so he disgraced himself last week. He was 36, 68, 69, and a pair of 70s. Obviously, last week he was such a short price because it was his home South African Open, and
he brought that fantastic
stunning form
yeah.
on the Japan Tour as well.
Yeah.
So I just wonder where he is, what he's, you know, what is his level? I don't quite know.
You'll just have a little cheeky few quid each way.
Yeah, half a pointer sort of job. Just yeah, he'd been 66s this week, no way. But just the fact that he's gone so far back to 150s. There's also that little angle, isn't there? I know Matt Cooper's told me this before about sometimes when there's a player and there's a load of expectations on him and he doesn't perform, then he goes out the next week and no one's thinking about him, and then he's freed up to do well again.
Yeah, so I'm a believer in that, to be honest.
Yeah, you could apply that to Schwartzel this week as well. I think he was obviously being billed as, you know, could he win the South African Open? Didn't. Now he'll come here with no one really looking at him and he might be able to go. Well, Schwartzel is 66s. It's close to putting him up, to be honest. But Norris is the one with the biggest discrepancy. So just for a bit of a laugh. I mean, you could play him in another market.
Yeah, like a
you?
Top 20 market.
Yeah, just to sort of, if you want to prove the point slightly. But I thought,
why not?
Why not? And I thought the whole reason is just his outright price. That's why I've got involved in the first place. So, yeah, we'll have half a point just to see, just to test a theory.
Okay, there you go. Half a point each way on Sean Norris at 150-1. Let's go through other players that came close. I must admit, I was tempted by Victor Hovland at 33-1. Because this is a ball striker's golf course, isn't it? And he is the ultimate ball striker, Victor Hovland. Been slightly lacklustre recently, and that's the negative, and he's not played for a while either. But, I mean, towards the end of last season, he'd be 16-18-1 in this field in his 33s now. So Victor Hovland was one that appealed to me, but just
where
not
was,
quite playing well.
Where
enough,
was he
maybe,
you
know,
when we had the who's best out of Wolf, Morikawa and Victor Hovland debate?
I think Victor Hovland, I put the poll out on Twitter and he came out top.
The other two have won already and he hasn't.
Yeah.
He's a bit frustrating at the minute. I know he's very young, but he seems to fly at the finish, doesn't he, having not got near enough?
Yeah, he almost won, didn't he, at the end in one of the fall series events and just fell short. Oh, it was on the Korn Ferry Tour, wasn't it, when he went off a short price that he finished second and he should have won that event.
Yeah.
He's going to be the best of them.
Right.
I think.
I don't know yet what he can do in an event like this first up with so many proven course performers and so it wasn't really close for me, to be honest.
Okay, who did come close?
Robert McIntyre. I did a little feature on Scottish Golf last year for Sporting Life.
I read that. It's very good.
Thank you.
Enjoyed it.
And I asked Martin Dempster, who's the main one of the big Scottish writers, for a kind of a bet for next year. Could have been anything. Could have been Conor Simon, anybody he liked. And he said Robert McIntyre for Abu Dhabi.
Right.
I was like, oh, I didn't expect anything
that was
quite specific.
That's interesting.
It just, obviously,
is that because the wind can blow in Abu Dhabi a little bit as well?
And his ball flight as well, he reckoned, was suited to it.
Right, okay.
So he just thought, yeah, I did one of them answers you weren't expecting. Yeah, yeah. You're expecting something vague or something. Yeah. Or non-committal, but he's actually said.
Well, I think we talked about on this podcast as well in the past that we're expecting that resurgence in Scottish golf. And
yeah.
I must admit, I like Callum Hill as well. He's 100-1 this week. I think he's going to have a big 2020.
Yeah. So I don't know why. I think I was expecting a slightly bigger price than McIntyre. Yeah. I thought maybe the bookies would have forgotten
how good he is.
Yeah, which is daft thinking, really. But just there's so many big names in there that I thought it might get 40s or something. But he's 33, and it'd be interesting to see how he goes. But you know, four-time runner-up or three-time runner-up last year, and six in the Open.
Yeah,
so definite pedigree.
Okay, shall we move on?
Yes, I think. I mean, we could go on mentioning people like Willett Garcia,
yeah,
or you know,
yeah,
so
Eric
many.
Van Rooyen 50-1, yeah. I thought was decent as well. Let's move on though. We've got the other event this week, and it is the other event because it's not the feature. It's the American Express 2020, formerly known as all those different championships I mentioned at the top of the podcast. Ricky Fowler is the 11-1 favourite. Sung Jaim is 16-1. Paul Casey, 20s. Tony Finau, 22s. Benny Arn is 25s. Kevin Kisner, 28-1. Scotty Scheffler is 30s. Matthew Wolff, 30s. Charles Howell, 30s. Along with Cameron Champ and Billy Horschel, 35-1 and bigger the rest. Played over three courses this event, with the stadium course at PGA West the host course this week. And it's the hardest of the three tracks as well, with the Nicklaus Tournament course and La Quinta the easier of the trio. And scoring is ridiculously strong, as you'd expect from a pro-am in the desert in benign conditions. 20 under par or lower has won this event every single year since 2007. When studying this event, you have a list of about 100 players that you think might be able to win, and you end up trying to whittle it down, and it's very, very difficult.
And then you could have had that last year and Adam Long won.
He wouldn't have been on the list, would he?
No. I suppose if you think, oh my God, this is just pointless, at least last year you had Mickelson and Adam Hadwin right on his tail.
Yes.
You know, they were. You could see why they would
Mickelson,
do well.
A West Coast specialist, yeah. And Adam Hadwin had prior.
Yeah, and he can shoot some daft numbers, can't he?
You know, when you're trying to attack this, and you're writing your columns, or you're looking through the how did you come about going at it?
I did a couple of things. I looked at kind of not just the winners, people who'd done well, finished in the top three, a bit more, and a lot of them have got something under their belt, like a top 25, a top 20.
Yeah.
So I think course form, or event form, is worthwhile. And most of those who've done well had already played in Hawaii.
Okay.
Even Adam Long had played in Hawaii, missed the cut, but at least he'd got something under his belt.
I've gone for a couple of players that didn't play in Hawaii, which
not
is...
Not at all?
No, which could be
When
negative.
Did they play?
Well, one of them, shall I reveal the first selection?
Do you want to tease it a bit more than that?
Okay. He played in the QBE shootout, so he had a little bit of form in
mid-December.
So not been out for that long, but maybe long enough.
Yeah.
About a month off the track.
It was something about 70% had played in one of those events in the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
So that was something.
Yeah.
So I combined course form and a recent outing.
Yeah, I had a look at birdie average, and I like a player that can just set up loads of birdie opportunities in these. Remember when Molinari won one of the events where you thought you need to putt really well, and Molinari doesn't, and he's just so metronomic that he was setting up so many opportunities.
Well, that's the thing.
That's how I came down on my first selection. Anyway.
Yeah, and that's a fair point, because sometimes you can think, all right, I need a brilliant putter who you don't think about the greens, but Jason Duffner won this event.
Yeah,
you know. Awful putter when he's at times, but obviously a bit of a tee to green machine. So, yeah, setting up chances is important. So I was looking for someone with good greens in reg figures as well, recent ones.
Okay. Two selections for me.
I've just got one, so you go first.
I'm going with Chasing Kokrak as my headline tip here at 35-1. Obviously, he's yet to win on tour, but I thought from an each-way perspective, he was decent at 35s. So strong off the tee, just guaranteed to set himself up with plenty of birdie chances this week. And he's not played competitively since logging a tie for 8th at the WGC HSBC Champions event, but he did play in the QBE shootout and his team were tied for 2nd in that event in mid-December. Top 30 for birdie average on tour last season, which I think is a positive, and he's got course form, which you mentioned as being very important, and I agree with you. Finished 8th and 18th in his last two outings in this event, and Jason Kokrak, 35-1 is my number one selection here.
You think this is finally his time?
Yeah, hopefully. And I think I just think he's guaranteed to play well, basically.
I mean, yeah.
He's going to get one eventually, isn't he?
Is he?
I think so.
Probably.
I think so.
Yeah. I'm going to go with, hopefully still this price. Yes, he is. 50-1, Russell Knox.
Okay.
Just ticks all the things I'm looking for, really.
Could have a Scottish double this week, then.
Yeah.
Robert McIntyre.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. Knox, then. Course form, he's got 29th on debut. He's got a 64 in round two. And he's got a tied 18th last year with another 64. When he's a WGC winner, won the HSBC. Won that with 20 under, so he can win with a low score, which I liked. Also, played in Hawaii, 32nd. Shot a second round 65. Just didn't get it done on the weekend. But he's played quite nicely before that. 20th in the RSM Classic. Middle rounds of 65-64. 11th in the Bermuda. Four starts ago, opened with a 64. So he's been putting the low scores in, which I like. He's also got a good record in the desert elsewhere. Plays well in Phoenix.
Yep.
Got a top 10 in Las Vegas as well. And then the other element to this is the pro-am element. If you read any, you know, if you're into that slightly, he played the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship for the first time last year and was 15th. And he's a very sociable, nice, jolly chap, isn't he? So I think he'll suit this sort of laid-back format as well.
Yeah.
So putting all the pieces together, I thought 50-1 on Knox was good. He's a two-time winner on the PGA Tour, won the Travelers, I think was the other one, and won the Irish Open a couple of seasons ago. Just expected him to be less than that, to be honest.
Okay.
That's the main reason. And, oh, the final thing, good recent iron play. Was second for greens in reg in the Sony Open last week, and also second for greens in reg at the Bermuda when he was 11th. So seems to be hitting his irons well. So just hole the putts every chance.
Yeah, I must admit, I was tempted with that school of thought to go with Kevin Kisner this week.
Yeah.
He's not got good course form, has he, Kisner? And he's played this event a hell of a lot. And maybe the slightly quirky format doesn't suit him, but he was number one tee to green last week, and his iron play was sensational. And you expect Kisner to putt well, don't you? Because that's the foundation of his career, is based on him being an incredible putter. And he kind of had two very good rounds and two absolutely atrocious rounds with the flat stick. And 28-1 was a tempter for me, but I've decided to swerve him and go for one at a massive price, because I think it's ripe for an upset this week. 200-1, my second selection. Bronson Bagoon is my second pick.
Yeah.
Just half a point each way on Bronson Bagoon. Can just make plenty of birdies. And you look at his form in the second half of last season, he played really well. Tied for 19th, tied for 6th, and tied for 13th in the Greenbrier, Sanderson Farms, and Houston. Those performances have come in his last 7 starts on tour. And he was 6th in this event, which caught my eye, back in 2013. I do think it's ripe for a shock. And 200-1, maybe Bronson Bagoon can provide it.
Yes.
So there we go.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at some real outsiders. Who did I look at? Cameron Davis is in good form. He's 125-1. I looked at Nate Lashley at the same price.
I looked at Henrik Norlander.
Yeah,
at 100-1. I think he's missed the cut on both of his starts here, but
right,
he's in very good form.
Yeah,
5th and 9th in his last 2 starts.
Yeah, Wyndham Clark makes a lot of birdies. I think he was well backed when he won the birdie fest last year.
Yeah,
Aaron Wise at 80s. always think of him as a birdie machine.
Yeah, I think he actually was third in birdie average on tour last season, behind only Thomas and McIlroy, right, off the top of my head. Yeah. So,
and he won, didn't he, the Byron Nelson with a daft score.
Yeah.
So he's another one. Right, back to the front end of the market. If Sung Jae-im is going to win, I think it might be this week.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think this could be an open door for him.
I was a little bit disappointed with him last week because he got into contention and then faded away in the closing stages. I thought 16s was I know he finished 12th last year, didn't he, in this, but I thought 16s was a little bit skinny.
No, it's not a great field, though, is it?
It's not a fantastic field.
So far, with this year in America, the two winners had played in the President's Cup, Justin Thomas and Cameron Smith. Sung Jae-im, joint top scorer for the internationals.
That's interesting.
Obviously, it's not like the President's Cup was held in, you know, September, because it was that recent. That was that should keep him honest, and then comes back out and does okay last week. And the fact, yeah, that tied 12th, I think, was the fact that last year that I thought, oh, right.
Yeah.
I wonder, is this Sung Jae-im week? I'd rather, of those two very fated young players who haven't won yet, Sung Jae-im and Victor Hovland, I'd much rather have my stake on.
Would you?
Sung Jae-im this week.
Okay. The couple of players, young players that I liked at the top of the betting were Matthew Wolf and Cameron Champ.
Yeah, Cameron Champ was
Both Californians, aren't they, as well?
Scotty Scheffler as well.
Yeah, Scotty Scheffler should go well.
Texan, isn't he? But we've had a couple of Texas winners of this. Patrick Reed won it.
Yeah.
So he might go well. Molinari, 40s. Imagine that. When he nearly won the Masters, he would be 40s for something like this.
It's strange, isn't it, that he's almost taken a backward step, hasn't he, Molinari? Yeah.
Well, he's admitted that took a lot out of him, losing the Masters. The one kind of way you could look at the price and thought, do you know what, I'm just going to play that because it's 40-1, is Phil Mickelson. Because you never know, do you? You never quite know. He's come out cold before and just immediately got in contention.
Yeah. He's been working hard, or he says he's been working
hard.
Yeah,
he always sort of does, doesn't he? But he's got last 4 years, he's got a second and a third, opened with a 60 last year.
Yeah.
Don't know, first round leader maybe for him. But I mean, he was so close last year.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're going to get from him, really. But of some of those around his price, I think Mickelson's the one who's, it could be either boom or bust and might give you a real chance.
Okay, let's wrap it up then. Your selections this week, starting off with the picks in Abu Dhabi.
Yes, I'm going to go 1.5 each way on Brandon Grace and Thomas Peters, both at 28-1. Quite confident picks, those.
Yeah, okay.
And then just 0.5 each way on Sean Norris at 150s.
You're almost laughing when you said
that.
Yeah,
I know.
I'm going to 0.5 each way on Brandon Grace, 28-1. 0.5 each way Victor Perez at 66-1. And in the event in America...
Yeah, I'll go 0.5 each way on Russell Knox at 50s.
I'm going to 0.5 each way Jason Kokrak at 35, just 0.5 each way on Bronson Bagoon at 200-1. Dave Tindall, thank you for your company.
Yeah, cheers, Dave.
Do follow us on Twitter at dkellner, at Dave Tindall Golf. It's been a pleasure speaking to you this week. Hopefully you enjoy the golfing week with the Abu Dhabi Championship and the American Express 2020 on the PGA Tour. And myself and Dave will be back next week. Check out all the markets at williamhill.com and on the app. And if you're having a bet this week, the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.